How are you, first of all?
Well, it's the most wonderful time of the year, Oscar weekend, so I'm excited. I'll be celebrating today by going to see Raiders of the Lost Ark at the New Beverly Cinema in Hollywood.
Oh.
Because it's my favorite movie of all time, and thanks to Tarantino's scheduling, I tend to be able to see it on the big screen at least once a year.
That's
if
nice.
Not there, somewhere else. But most of the time, yeah, Tarantino schedules it at the New Bev at least once a year. And that today and the Oscars tomorrow, it's a good movie weekend.
Oh, my God. It's going to be so good. But overall, things going good?
Yeah.
How's the tours going?
Well, I could always do more of them, but each one I do is fantastic. So, you know, I'm going to launch into, I think, my first ad campaign. So far, Google's been good to me, but now I need it to be better. So I will launch into that. So if you haven't heard of the Movie Guys LA Film Locations tour yet, hopefully you will, because I'm going to pay someone to make sure that happens.
Yeah.
And then, book even more, do even more. And so far it's, again, just every tour is great. So
good,
just
man.
Need to do more of them.
Good. Always glad to hear that.
See ya.
So tomorrow, like you said, is Oscars. And of course, with you, we always like to do and go kind of go down through everything of who will win and who should win on this.
Yes. And what do you want to do? Shout out a category and we take it from there?
Yeah, let's kind of go, down the line a bit, so to speak. So what do you want to start with? You want to start with the big ones and
whatever you got, throw it at me. We'll yap it up.
So let's go ahead and do the let's do Best Picture.
All right, we'll start out huge. If I had my way, I'd give it to Wicked.
Really?
Oh yeah. But I have a feeling they're going to wait on that one. If Wicked has its day, it'll be after the sequel comes out and really finishes the story, and then they'll do like they did with something like Lord of the Rings, where they waited for three of them to play out and then gave it a bunch of awards, because the reviews were certainly good enough, and a lot of the pre-show awards kind of went to it. But again, I think they all kind of held back and said, well, you know, Cynthia Erivo's great, maybe when they give the more emotional parts of the story, which to me was already pretty damn emotional by the end of this first movie, maybe we award them then. I'm not sure what's keeping them from piling on, but I think it's tomorrow. It'll be good for a lot of tech awards. It'll be dueling it out with like Dune Part 2 to see what wins for sound and other things. It's probably got a hard duel against Conclave for costumes, makeup as well. It's going to be dealing with a substance, so it's got some challenges in all of the categories. For me, I'd probably give it to Wicked, edging out Anora.
Okay, so who do you think should win?
That I think Wicked should win, but good will win. Is this the hard? I can't believe Best Picture is the hardest category to pick. Like a lot of times, you go into the year and you're just like, "Well, Schindler's List has got this," you know,
right?
Or you know,
tell. There's a lot of good films. I mean, we're talking about Anora, The Brutalist, The Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Emilia Perez, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, The Substance, and Wicked. So I mean, it's a toss up on this one.
It is, because a lot of the pre-Oscar awards were spread out all over the place. I thought Anora had a shot for sure because, well, first of all, Emilia Perez got the most Oscar nominations, so I thought that was it. Then we have the whole scandal with Carla Sofia Gascon and her old racist tweets, and kind of put the kibosh on that winning awards for the recent past. But the interesting thing is, then Anora started coming on. It won the DGA Award. It won the PGA Award. It won the Critics' Choice Award. And it turns out that the votes for those awards were tallied before all this controversy with Emilia Perez. So this is just people thinking Anora is better. I agree. But then Conclave wins the BAFTA, you know, and so it's like, okay, well, now Conclave is back in the mix after having a real strong festival run, you know. So The Brutalist won the Golden Globe. So, like, they're kind of all over the map as to what could win. I honestly am having a hard time picking what it could be, although I'd probably go with The Brutalist just over Anora, just because Anora is so out there in terms of like the crazy story that it is, where The Brutalist is like a story of an immigrant who needs to, you know, it's like very Oscar, you know, type stuff.
Okay.
So,
all right. Best actor in a leading role: Adrian Brody, Timothy Chalamet, Colman Domingo, Ralph Fiennes, or Sebastian Stan?
I gotta say, well, first of all, I went and I saw all these. I didn't think I was going to get to see The Apprentice before the Oscars, but Sebastian Stan is great in that movie. And that movie's really good. You know, like, I don't want to look at Trump for more than 10 seconds, and I watched 2 hours. That's how good that movie is. Adrian Brody has been winning a lot of awards leading up to this, but Chalamet came in and he took the SAG award. So it's like, I don't know who's going. For me, I'd give it to Colman Domingo. A very vulnerable, strong performance from him in that film. That, but he's just as deserving. Chalamet's just as deserving. Stan is just as deserving. Ralph Fiennes gets a little caught up in the fact that Conclave is really a strong ensemble. It's hard for anyone to stand out.
Got it.
Okay. I think they go with Brody, though, the same reason they might go with The Brutalist for Best Picture. You know, it's a won before, but I think it's like an immigrant story, and he's dealing with America and all this stuff, and it's a statement against immigrants today if they give it to this movie. And so, you know, and you know, he's abused by a rich person film. So now, it's like
Brody's won what, two? Other award, two other Oscars?
Just once before.
Or just once,
The Pianist,
okay.
The Roman Polanski film.
Yeah,
back
I remember that.
Like 20 years ago.
Yeah. Okay, Best Actress.
And if we remember, he won, and then he just randomly kissed Halle Berry, who gave him the Oscar.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And so if he wins this year, he gets to kiss Emma Stone, and not a bad deal. So maybe, you know, he's probably looking forward to it.
Hey, yeah, exactly. He's probably planning this out, is what it is.
Yeah, it's like Emma Stone? Oh, I hope
I
win.
All right, Best Actress in a Leading Role. Cynthia Erivo, Carla Sofia Gazan, Mikey Madison, Demi Moore, and Fernanda Torres.
Gascon's out. Fernanda Torres won the Golden Globe and shocked everybody. And so I saw that film, I'm Still Here. It's really good. It's a Brazilian movie, and she's great in it. But I think this comes down to Mikey Madison and Demi Moore. I'm Team Mikey. And it doesn't hurt that I'm in L.A., and I probably talked about this when I talked about Anora on your show, that there was a Q&A with her afterwards, and she couldn't be more different than Anora. Mm-hmm. And you see the work she did. Even at the opening of the SAG Awards, where they do that whole thing where they talk about they just jump to various actors in the crowd, and they tell little stories about how they started.
Oh, yeah,
and I'm
Mikey
Madison, and I'm an actor. And it started with her, and she's so demure and sweet. And it's like, when you see, and then you meet Annie in the film, and she's screaming, and she's nuts, and she's like, she's not from New York. You know, Mikey's not from New York, so I thought the accent was great. So I'm Team Mikey Madison all the way. However, I think they go with Demi Moore. I think also, Anora is entirely about Mikey Madison's character, whereas Demi Moore splits time with Margot Qualley, who plays the other version of her that the substance creates. So Demi Moore is great in the film, but, you know, again, sometimes you have to just take it down. Both these people were great. How can one person be over the top? And I think it's more heavy lifting by Mikey Madison than Demi Moore had to do. But Demi Moore is great. And if she wins, I think everyone will be thrilled. Everyone in the world. Who doesn't love Demi Moore for 40 years? And now she gets some kind of recognition beyond just you're pretty or whatever. You know, she's like, this is a great thing. So I wouldn't be mad, but boy, I'm all about Mikey Madison.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, too, I mean performances are weird because looking back at A Silence of the Lambs, you know, with Anthony Hopkins, he wasn't on the screen that long.
Correct. Even Judi Dench won. I mean, that for Best Actor, that's especially weird.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks this is Jodie Foster's movie. Everyone else is in support of her, right? But then, you know, like Judi Dench wins Best Supporting Actress for Shakespeare in Love. I think she did all of 8 minutes in the film. So anyone else who was like a side character that was there the whole movie, you know, you'd think would be more of a shot. But it's a. We predict the Oscars, but we don't know what we're talking about, right? That's why I'm happy to tell you who should.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
That I'm sure of.
Okay, Best Actor in a Supporting Role. Yura Brosev. I'm going to screw these names up, though. Karen Culkin, which is Macaulay Culkin's brother. Edward Norton, Guy Pearce, Jeremy Strong.
Again, watching this Apprentice movie, Jeremy Strong plays Roy Cohn, and it is some character creation. I mean, he does great work as that, so I really quickly became a fan of that performance and voted for it myself for the SAG Awards. But there isn't a pre-Oscar award that Kieran Culkin hasn't won. And if you watch that, it's a great performance too. I mean, the two of them are great. The whole movie centers on Jesse Eisenberg, Kieran Culkin's Like that's a true supporting performance, unlike what we were talking about. He does more than Hopkins did. Of course, Hopkins, I think his real achievement was just creating an indelible character for the ages.
Yeah.
No one's going to be imitating Kieran Culkin, but boy, they entertained watching that movie. So he's really good, and I wouldn't be shocked if he wins. I wouldn't be angry, but I kind of like this strong category overall. Yeah. Borisov's good. Guy Pearce, for a legend for 25 years, and he puts in a fantastic performance.
Has Edward Norton won?
No, he was nominated for Primal Fear and then for American History X and then Birdman. He's just always getting nominated because he's consistently good. But I don't believe he's been rewarded yet. And maybe one day. I think you keep thinking, well, that was his shot, but then he gets nominated again for the next thing he's in.
I wouldn't mind if he won on that one, though. That'd be kind of cool for him to see.
Yeah, Pete Seeger was an interesting performance because it wasn't showy in any means. So this is him winning for a role, you know, whereas like, you know, in American History X, he got the tattoos and he jacked up and he shaved his head and he was, you know, like all sorts of different stuff. And he's big. Apparently he's big in that way. He's a method kind of guy. Yeah. But this being so subdued, I'm shocked they recognize it. He's good as ever.
All right. Best actress in a supporting role. Monica Barbaro, Ariana Grande, Felicity Jones, Isabella Rossellini, and Zoe Saldana.
Zoe Saldana.
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 Which is funny because I think all during the Guardians of the Galaxy, she's Zoe Saldana. She gets in this movie and she's Zoe Saldana. So be it. But she's going to win. But she, again, much like Kieran Culkin, she's won every award up till now.
Got it.
And she's good in the movie that I just did not find very good at all. It didn't, and mostly because it's a musical with awful music. For every song in Wicked that's amazing, there's a song in Amelia Perez where I just think it's lame or you know, not my thing. So there's a little subjectivity there, but there's also just like I don't think the sense of humor works. But but she'll win, I think, just because of the role she's on. The worst part about this category is the best supporting performance I saw all year was in The Last Showgirl with Pamela Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
Where she plays a showgirl who's been in a Vegas show that's like Jubilee, which was at Bally's forever. She's in it for 30 years while her life kind of passes her by. And it's a sad, brilliant movie about Vegas desperation. And the supporting role in there, Jamie Lee Curtis, was so good in that movie. She plays a waitress who's just like, you know, an outspoken, brash lady who also has this dark sadness and has two or three great scenes in that movie that just for me put her over the top. And she didn't get a nomination. She got a SAG nomination, and I voted for her.
You know, Jamie Lee Curtis is like one of those actresses, kind of like Kurt Russell. You know, anything Kurt is in, I will watch. I don't care how short or how big the role is, I will watch him.
Yeah, you know, and they all, you know, Jamie Lee, of course, won for Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah, and Jamie Lee, is one of those actresses, again, where she can do anything. You know, yeah, she's the original horror scream queen, but like the other day, True Lies was on. And she is
so good
in that, you know, to the point where I remember hearing a story that she told that after, I guess, watching the whole thing, Arnold Schwarzenegger decided to put her name also above the title, which is a big deal in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. And a big deal at that time. Like we're just coming out of the 80s where, like, you know, we weren't even concerned with franchises or anything. It was like, what movie is Tom Cruise putting out? What movie is Arnold putting out?
Yeah.
Or Julia Roberts or Harrison Ford or Mel Gibson, like these guys. And so to share that credit, big deal. Yeah, you're right.
You know, and I thought that was very, very cool, you know, because he realized how much work and how much support that she put into it, though, you know.
Yeah, and if you see this performance she has supporting a role in The Bear on television as well, I mean, that performance is out of this world.
Yeah.
So she has this late career thing that I'd love to see Kurt Russell had, but he's also flirted with awards too, you know, in Miracle, if you remember, when he played the hockey coach. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see it, but I don't think he got nominated for that. He flirted with it, you know, he was in the mix. I'd like to see him get another run as well, if you're going to compare the two.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are my two favorite. Like if they're doing something, I've got to go see it. I've got to watch it.
Absolutely.
So, okay. Real quick, last couple of ones here. Best director?
Best director, what do we got?
Sean Baker, Bradley Cooper, James Mangold, was it Hakeem's Arjuna? I don't know.
Let's say the directors of Emilia Perez and The Substance. I'll spare you the
end. Yeah. And Corelli Fartgrave.
Corelli Fartgrave.
There you go.
Yeah. I will say that this category is always.
How am I doing, guys? Am I doing pretty good?
Yeah, doing great. All right.
Some quick history, and I'm sure I bring this up every year, but of course, back in 08, the Academy did a dumb thing and didn't nominate The Dark Knight. Mm. And so they left off one of the most popular movies around and saw bad ratings for the Oscars. And so they said, well, maybe we should nominate 10 movies and we include some popular stuff and people will want to watch the Oscars. So next year they had 9 or 10 nominees in 09, and that included stuff like Up and Inglourious Basterds. And then people were like, oh, I'd like to watch this. However, every year that means with still having a 5-nominee category for directing, you leave out 5 directors of the best picture nominees. So, you know, you're not getting the guy who directed Nickel Boys, which took some huge swings about like how to direct that movie. Mm-hmm. And that'd be the Dune Part 2. He was good enough, I think, last year for a nomination, but not this year? I don't know. So it's all weird. John Chu, of course, for Wicked. I mean, it was quite an achievement, but you only got 5 nominees. And I think... Well, it's tough to bet against the winner of the Directors Guild Award, which would be Sean Baker of Anora.
Mm-hmm.
But Brady Corbet won for The Brutalist at the Golden Globes, so I think he's in the mix. My pick is Baker, and I'm going to stick by the prediction of Baker.
Well, he's got a good name.
Sean, yes, very nice. He's he got spells it the same.
Exactly, that's why I like him, so I'm rooting for him.
He doesn't spell it stupid, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he can't spell it the feminine way. Yeah, that's just
I also let me jump to a category that I want to talk about real quick because I just got caught up on this category and it actually yielded some of the best, most creative stuff of the year, and that's animated feature film.
Yes. All right. I'd love to hear this.
Yeah, so it's Flow. I thought that movie was something completely different, but Inside Out 2, Memoir of a Snail. Love Wallace and Gromit. I haven't seen it, so Vengeance Most Foul and The Wild Robot.
So I still have to see Memoir of a Snail, but this is the category I've been catching up on here with a few minutes to go, and I'm like, oh man, I really should have got like on this earlier because but I think maybe I'll get to Memoir tonight, we'll see. But I saw Flow a couple nights ago. It's outstanding, and I'm not surprised it is also nominated for Best International Feature Film, which is kind of a rarity to see Best International Feature Film be an animated movie. So Latvia is in the mix with I'm Still Here and Emilia Perez for that, and so it's got a couple shots to win something. Inside Out 2 is outstanding. It's the same thing they did previously. You know, same but different. I got a friend from the movie guys who always says, I just want in a sequel, I just want the same but different. And so that's kind of what they do. It's more about how does Riley experience emotions in order to grow. And so they pile on a whole bunch of new ones, and the humor is great, and there's new experiences that they go on and adventures in, you know, within like Riley's brain and heart. Wallace and Gromit, yep. Always deliver, you know, and I just look forward to the Wallace and Gromit movies. This one's called Vengeance Most Foul. Yeah. How is Gromit going to save the day while Wallace is being a, you know, a charming chowderhead, you know, and then it'll be a huge action sequence in the end. And of course, it's all true. Yeah. So enjoy that. But I got to tell you this, the Wild Robot, as much as I have always thought DreamWorks was like the little, you know, sister to Pixar, this is the one. And the interesting thing about their ad campaign was, you know, the best DreamWorks movie ever, but who's telling me that? Well, DreamWorks is.
Yeah.
they were right to do so, though, because it absolutely is true. I mean, the one before this that I really loved was How to Train Your Dragon. Same director. So Chris Sanders is the guy to watch over there at DreamWorks. And most movies have like one big emotional high. The Wild Robot has like 10.
Oh, wow.
And the animation is stellar now, and you can take it for granted if you're not careful. Same with Inside Out 2, you know, like it's so good now. If you know, don't take for granted just how amazing the animation is, you know, just because you're so used to seeing it be great. But that'd be my pick for that. And I think it won at the Annie Awards, which are the animation awards. So I think Wild Robot's got a real good chance. But watch out for Flow in the rear view.
Okay. because it might flow right into you. All right.
Yes.
Also, I want to talk kind of briefly, too, about the Razzies. And ironically, BW did not know about these.
Really? Like forever?
I had no idea this was happening.
Oh. Every year, yeah.
I don't celebrate bad things. Probably that's why.
So.
Well, I know it's kind of really pessimistic that they do, right? But still, it's a thing.
So here we go. We're just going to kind of run through these real quick. See if you agree or disagree. So, worst picture nominee was Borderlands, Joker, Folie de Deux, Madame Web, Megalopolis, and Reagan. And Madame Web won.
Well, here's the problem. I don't see these movies. they look terrible, and I hear they are terrible, then I don't go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's the thing. I'm not some newspaper critic or anything where I'm required to see everything. I feel bad for those guys. I gotta sit through some of this Madam Web stuff. You know, fool me once with the Sony Spider-Verse. You know, I saw Morbius. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I don't need to see any more of these. And so I haven't. So I didn't see Kraven. I didn't see the Venom sequels, you know.
Yeah,
I'm out. But I'm sure Madame Web is awful.
Oh, it is.
yeah. I'll take your word for it.
All right. Okay. So I'll just kind of run through these. Actor, worst actor, Jerry Seinfeld for Unfrosted.
You know, I disagree with that. I was on this show talking about how funny that movie is.
That movie
is.
Was yeah. good. It was funny.
It's super funny. Yeah. I mean, Dennis Quaid was nominated for Reagan. Joaquin Phoenix for Joker. Zachary Levy for Harold and the Purple Crayon. That movie just sounds horrible there alone. It's like,
it really, I mean, first of all, that he's an adult. I mean, that probably everything is so wrong with that movie. It's probably him at the worst, if not mm-hmm. Quaid. But Quaid's a decent actor, so I can't imagine it'd be that bad, but you never know.
All right. Actress who won was Dakota Johnson for Madame Web. She was up against Kate Blanchett, Lady Gaga, Bryce Dallas Howard, and Jennifer Lopez.
What was Blanchett probably for the Eli Roth movie, right?
Borderlands.
Yeah. I mean, I'm O for seeing those, except for Joker, which is bad, but it's hard. This is the problem with the Razzies sometimes, is that I have, you know, they're punching down a lot, but... Oh geez, see, I'm almost talking myself into a corner here. But if they punch up, then they're punching the people who really risked, you know? And I don't want to discourage risk, because then we're just corporate studios cranking out required franchise entries and not really supporting the people who, if they don't make their movie, they die. You know, it's like, I have to make this movie. And Coppola had to make Megalopolis, you know, and he was trying to make it for years, and he finally made it. I watched it. Is it a mess? Yeah, but like, good for the swing, you know?
Yeah. And I heard that he was very happy about his nom and win. So
I did pull some of this, and I'll just read you a couple quotes. I'm thrilled to accept the Razzie for in so many important categories for Megalopolis, and for the distinctive honor of being nominated as the worst director, worst screenplay, and worst picture at a time when so few have the courage to go against the prevailing trends of contemporary movie making. In this wreck of a world today where art is given scores as if it were professional wrestling, I chose to not follow the gutless rules laid down by an industry so terrified of risk that, despite the enormous pool of young talent at its disposal, may not create pictures that will be relevant and alive 50 years from now. He went out for another paragraph, but I thought that was great. I'm like, you go, Francis.
Exactly. Let me run through these real quick here. So, best supporting, worst actress.
Worst actress,
yeah. Dakota Johnson for Madame Web. Supporting actor, John Voight. One for Megalopolis, Reagan, Shadowland, and Strangers. So it was a combination of all of those.
Yeah, he's not great in Megalopolis. He actually hasn't been great in a lot of things lately, except I'm told Ray Donovan, but I never watched it.
Okay. So. Amy Schumer won for supporting actress for Unfrosted.
Again, I disagree with that. People are clearly the Razzies are unaware that's a satire.
Yeah. Now, out of all these or whatever, of course, there's always the immortal Razzie Redeemer. And it happened to be Pamela Anderson for The Last Showgirl.
Yeah, I don't know where she's won a Razzie before, but I'm sure there were numerous.
I think it was probably for Barbed Wire.
Barb Blair, yeah, most likely.
Yeah.
But, no, good for her. She's really good. In fact, that's a bit of, I should have brought that up when we talked about the real Oscars. That's a bit of a snub that she didn't get an Oscar nomination for that film as well.
And who would have thought, though? Because, I mean, you know, her image and everything, whatever, was always just this one thing. But to see her do something like this, you know, it really, you know, showed a different side of her, I think, which I thought was wonderful.
Yeah, I'd take the lead of Emilia Perez out of the mix and put Pam in for the Oscars. But, I love when that happens, too, whether it's Tarantino making a wild casting choice that brings back somebody you haven't heard from in a while. I mean, Travolta, of course, is the most famous. Yeah. But or someone who just shows up in an indie that's not a huge director or anything and does great and just gets recognized. Like, you can't, you know, Steve Martin said, be so good they can't ignore you.
Right.
She did. Good for her.
Yeah. One thing I want to ask you or talk to you about real quick before you go, Paul, is regarding the new Snow White film, the live action.
Oh, yeah. It comes out of my birthday. What a treat.
I'm going to ask again, and I think you've answered it or whatever, but why is Disney doing these live actions?
I mean, was Wish that bad? That, you know, they made an original movie called Wish, if you remember, with Ariana DeBose and Chris Pine, an animated film. Uh-huh. And it apparently was really bad and didn't make any money. And they're like, screw it. We're just going to double down. Because I think their slate of films as of late, super boring.
Yep.
You got Moana 2. You got the live action Moana coming. You got the live action Lilo and Stitch. We're going to do the live action Snow White. We've got, I mean, it's just sequels and live action remakes. And I don't know. I'm kind of bored by all of it.
That's
my thing. At least Pixar has a new, their next movie is called Elio, I think.
Uh-huh.
And it's about a kid who somehow gets abducted by aliens or something, has to represent all of Earth to an alien race or something like that. But it looks like a lot of fun and it's unique and original.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
I saw the trailer for it the other day and I'm also looking at it going, why is the queen better looking than Snow White herself?
Right? So backwards.
I mean,
yeah,
so,
and she should at least be older or some reason to want to be upset.
Yeah.
It's Gal Gadot,
are
right?
Are you lying, Mir?
Yeah. Because I don't know who's playing Snow White, because I didn't see who, you know, but I don't know who, but I'll be honest with you.
I'll tell you, it's Rachel Zegler from West Side Story.
Okay, she looks horrible in it, in that role. I mean, I would rather see a Disney cast member from Disneyland who looks more like Snow White than what she did in the film.
That is true.
Well, you don't know what Snow White looks like. That's what they're saying, I think.
She's
you
white.
Just know
now
what
we know
Snow
that.
White has looked like. It's true.
Well, the thing is, though, they had when the animators did the original film, there was an actual model there. So they kind of sculpted it from that girl who had this certain look to her. You know, so I was kind of hoping, okay, if you're going to do this, you know, I'm like, looking, really? You're going to do such a classic, you know, on this whole thing, and then to see Snow White not be the beautiful thing that she is in the animation, you know, and like you got to come at least close to it, and you're not. I'm looking at somebody who almost has like a unibrow.
Snow whiter than white is what you want.
Probably, I don't know, man. I mean, and then to change the looks of all the dwarfs, it's like, oh, dude,
they just look weird. Yeah.
They do. It's like, give me my Doc, give me my Sleepy, give me my Dopey, you know?
Give me the movie from 1937, I'll watch that.
Yeah.
That's fine, I'm good. I think if I got the day right, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't get it. I really don't get it.
Beauty and the Beast remake made so much money, they just started, they're not stopping that train anytime soon, you know? And I thought that movie was super dull, I thought.
So did I.
Watson was horribly miscast.
Yes.
Much I like Luke Evans in it and Josh Gad. But overall, it was lame. I was like, I just watch the animated one. That's so perfect.
Yeah. And the guy who played the prince at the end didn't even look like John Bon Jovi, you know, like the original one did. You know, what the hell?
Richard Marx looking dude.
Yeah.
No, they had, but they did, and they did this recently, right? We had the Kristen Stewart Snow White, which was weird. And then we had the sequel to that. And then we had Mirror Mirror with Julia Roberts, right? And somebody else, somebody, I can't, who was that? It was a Lily Collins, I think, right? But like we're just here it is again. Yeah. Yeah. You guys like this? I mean, it's like, what are we getting excited about?
Nothing. You know what? I gotta say that I did not mind the Kristen Stewart one though. I thought that was a different take, and I thought that was kind of a little bit more unique.
Yeah, it was entertaining. It totally goes away though.
Yeah,
but no one talks about it.
Not at all. So. All right, my friend, thank you so much for this. I appreciate it. Tomorrow is the Oscars on ABC. I think it starts at, 5 o'clock?
Yes. What I'm most excited about, despite all the movies we talked about, I want to see Conan crush it. He's going to be awesome as the host.
Oh, I think so, too.
I mean, he's just so funny and always killed it at the Emmys, so he'll kill it here.
Yeah. Did you see the promo where they put him as an Oscar statue?
I saw the photos of that, yeah. And then yeah. There's a video where he's like, roommates are really having some kind of relationship with the Oscar and
yeah.
Having an argument, which is funny. And so, I mean, he's just great. He's just absurdist enough where hopefully they let that show through and have a lot of fun with it.
I hope so too. I hope so too. Cause I'm hoping I think he'll do a great job. You know, I definitely enjoyed Jimmy Kimmel doing it as well.
Oh, he was great. Yeah.
You know, but of course my favorite will always be the great Billy Crystal though.
Indeed, him and Steve Martin, I thought, were my two favorites. Billy is legend, and I'm sure the people older than us will tell you Bob Hope is the best.
Yeah, you know? True.
Crystal was great.
Crystal's awesome. Did you ever hear?
And I'll just leave you with the joke that Steve Martin said that was one of my favorites of all time. This was back in the mid '90s. He said, "You know, the movies." I'm paraphrasing. He's like, "You know, the movies are magic." I even remember going to see a film and putting my arm around little Susie Chesler and holding her close to me in that dark theater. I even remember the movie, The Lion King.
My favorite joke I've ever heard about the Oscars or whatever is where Bob Hope is hosting it. And he goes, "Yep, here we are tonight at the Oscars, otherwise known as my house is Passover."
Right. Yeah, that's a classic. Yeah. That happened at the Pantages back then.
Yeah.
The first televised Oscars. Yeah. And they moved it all around town, but now, of course, it'll be down. You know, I give on the tours, I point out the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel on Hollywood Boulevard, which was the site of the very first Oscars.
One. Yep.
And everyone knew who won when they arrived. They just showed up to eat and drink with their friends. It took about a half hour to hand them out. I tell people who are visiting from out of town, we don't do it like that anymore. And now, you know, on these tours I'm given the last few weeks, you can't even drive down Hollywood. But so, yeah, this is how we do it now. We shut the whole thing down. If all the Foot Lockers and Sephora's get covered with drapery and then the red carpet everywhere. And so it's quite the to-do. And I'm looking forward to see what they put together.
We'll see what happens tomorrow night, man. It's going to be good.
Oh, and
yeah.
If we didn't have time to put Gene Hackman in the memoriam, someone's going to get slapped.
Oh, but, yeah. Oh, no, they have to.
That's a real loss. I mean, he hadn't made a movie in 20 years, so.
Yeah.
It's not.
But two-time Academy Award winner, though, so.
Legendary guy.
Yeah. All right, my friend.
All right, enjoy the show.
All right, buddy. Take care. Have a good one.
See you.
All right.